I was 17 years old. I just passed my driving test a few months earlier, and my cousin Jonathan and I were going to a party. It was between Christmas and New Year, and we were going up north, kind of north of Lancaster in the countryside. We were heading up to a little village town up there, and we were going to go to a party, and we were going to have some fun, maybe see if there was any beautiful ladies. We were 17, free and single at the time, and we were having fun. We had some tunes on in the car. We had the cassette player playing. Do you remember the cassette players? and we thought, let's change the cassette. Let's get something else on. So we ejected the cassette, but I don't know if you've ever seen the cassette players in cars, but it pinged straight out, the cassette, and it went straight onto the floor, into the footwell, just below me where I was driving. And so I was like, oh, I'll just grab it. And so I kind of reached down, but couldn't find it. Looked down, you know where this is going, right? I looked down, and what to me I thought was just a second or two, but when I got the cassette and looked back up, it was going about 40 miles an hour, maybe give or take, but right at the bonnet was a hedge, right in front of the car. No time to swerve, no time to brake, no time to do nothing. Bang! We hit the hedge. Everything shook. The windscreen shattered and broke. The whole car was moving around. We went into the hedge. We went through the hedge. We went up the hedge. And we actually went right over 360, over the top of the hedge, landed in the field on our side in the car. And I just looked at Jonathan. He looked at me. He's like, "You all right? You all right? You all right? You all right?" And we just one of those moments where just everything went wrong. And as soon as I realized that we were both okay, and we scrambled out of the car off the side. Jonathan had to climb right up over the top because he was down on the side against the floor. But as soon as we got out there, and I thought we're okay, I thought, "I've got to tell Dad. I've got to tell Dad that I've wrecked his car," because it was my dad's 2.0 injection turbo Vauxhall Cavalier, which is going to come up on the screen in a second. I think the guys have got a photo of it. There we go. There it is. Look at that beauty. Beautiful car. Now, it didn't look like that after I'd hit the hedge. Quite the opposite to that. And I thought, I've got to go tell Dad I've smashed up his car. I've wrecked this car it's been fairly new, you know, and what am I going to tell to him? So we got kind of towed out the field and managed to get home. The car was smashed up, and I was thinking of excuses. I was thinking Jonathan distracted me. It was his fault. He did something. I was thinking, maybe I won't tell him. Maybe this isn't the guy. I'll tell him tomorrow. Yeah, I'll just tell him tomorrow. But he won't notice it in the driveway. I'll tell him tomorrow. And I thought, I've always fancied moving abroad. I've always wanted to travel, so maybe I'll head abroad and I'll just go right now. I'll just start right now. Why don't I go right this moment? And I don't know how long I stayed outside debating how to tell him, whether I should tell him, whether I should change the trajectory of my life and move away. But you get the picture. I was full of indecision. I didn't know what to do in that moment. I kind of thought I did need to, but I was just full of indecision. Maybe you can relate to that. Have you ever been paralyzed by a decision that you've got to make, where you're just not sure what to do? Maybe you've been in that exact situation that I have, where you've crashed a car and you've got to go and tell your mum or dad or whoever's car it is that you've crashed it. Maybe you couldn't decide how to tell your boss some news. Maybe something happened at work and you needed to tell them, but you just didn't know how to do it. You just kept putting it off. Maybe you're indecisive over the next steps of life. Maybe you always have been. Maybe you've always been like, I just don't know what to do. And so you're just indecisive. Maybe you're in a great place and there's just so many good choices ahead of you. You're just not sure which one to pick. You're just not sure what the next step forwards is for you. Maybe you're indecisive over the simplest things of life. Maybe in the morning you spend far too long in the sock drawer thinking, actually, which pair of socks am I going to wear today? Maybe you're just indecisive in a way like that. Maybe it's in you. But I know when I'm indecisive, and it happens to all of us at different times and different situations and different places, I wish I was more decisive. I wish I was more decisive because I know it always holds me back. It stops me from stepping forward. It stops me from walking into what I'm meant to when I'm indecisive. Now, fortunately, I don't crash cars every day, but I do have to make decisions every day. We all do. We all make lots of them. Most of them we make unconsciously, but we all make lots of decisions every day, from the small mundane to the life-altering, destiny-altering decisions that we make day to day. There's a favorite character of mine in the Old Testament of the Bible, and he is called Joshua. He was a leader of a nation called the Israelites. And God had told this nation, under Joshua's leadership, to go and take and conquer a land called Canaan. And this land was full of bad people, full of evil people, actually. They were terrible people. They would burn children to death. They would just do awful, awful things to people. They were evil. And God had told these people, because they were so bad, these Canaanite people, for the Israelites, go and drive them out, and I'll be with you, and I'll help you do this. And I want to read a bit of what God said to Joshua, because I think it will help us with our decisions and with our decision-making. So it's Joshua chapter 1. If you've got a Bible or you're on an app on a phone, Joshua chapter 1, 1 to 11. It will appear on the screen behind me too, so you can follow along. It says this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the river Jordan into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. He was ready to set off. You know, God had a future for Joshua and the people he was leading, and he wanted them to walk into it. But he knew that they needed to be decisive. So three times he told Joshua, be strong, courageous, be strong and very courageous. He was saying, you can do this. You have what it takes to walk into your future. I've got this future for you, but you'll need to be decisive. You'll need to live decisive. You'll need to live strong and courageous, making courageous decisions, stepping forwards into what I've got for you. Go forwards. Verse 5 says, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. What does that mean? I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. It means God's got your back. God had the Israelites' back. God has your back. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, God's got your back. He's got your back covered. God will help you. It means, it's just so freeing, because it means that we don't need to worry all the time about making the wrong decision, because God's got our back. If we you know, make the wisest, the best decision we can and step forwards, God's got our back. If it's not the right path, he'll take us down a different route somewhere else. If someone's got your back, they'll be there to catch you when you fall. They'll be there to help you when you have made a wrong decision, because we all do make wrong decisions. If someone's got your back, they'll turn it around. They'll catch you just in time. That's the God that we have. That's why Joshua could be strong and courageous. It wasn't arrogance. It wasn't arrogance thinking, I can do this myself. It's because he knew he had God with him, and he knew that God had his back. That's why Joshua could be strong, courageous, and live decisive. He knew God had a plan for his future, and he knew he had his back covered. Some of you are still thinking about the story I told earlier of the car crash and telling my dad. And I did eventually pluck up the courage to go inside and explain to dad what happened. And I explained, and he just sat there looking, and I just thought he was going to go ballistic. I thought I was going to get told off. I thought, all sorts of things run through your head. But the first thing he asked was, are you all right? Second thing he asked was, is Jonathan all right? And then he said this. He said, the car will fix, but you won't. I'm glad you're all right. And it just blew me away. I'd been so indecisive for so long. Should I tell him, should I not, and so on. But my dad in that moment, and he reflected a little bit of God. He reflected a little bit of God's character. He was more concerned about me and my future than he was about a car and just some stuff. My dad had my back. My dad had my back in this. And I would have saved a lot of heartache and a lot of stress thinking and, you know, waiting outside and all those things, figuring out an excuse and so on, thinking he was going to tell me off. If I'd just been decisive, if I'd lived this, I'd just gone in, because if I'd just known that, and I should have known that, I've got an awesome dad. He's amazing. Let's get rid of indecision in our lives. When we live in indecision, we let circumstances control us. Circumstances can control us. When we let our thoughts go off in wild and crazy places, and this is often the worst thing, our thoughts go in all sorts of different directions that often can be quite destructive and we think the worst of situations, and we think the worst of people, and we end up with a wounded heart or a wounded spirit, or we end up in such a place of depression and despair because we've been indecisive and we let those thoughts control us and control what we think and how we feel. Sometimes we let other people control us, and maybe we don't let the best people influence our lives. Or worst of all, we let chance control us. We live indecisive and we just see what happens. We let chance run our lives. When all the time God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. He's got significance for us. He's got something special for each and every one of us to do in our lives. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You're here for a reason and a purpose. You're here this morning for a reason, but you're on this earth for a reason. Every single one of you, you're meant to do something. You're meant to do something. And God's got that plan for you. And he wants us to walk decisively into that. He wants us to walk decisively into that. I hope I began to convince you that living decisive is a good thing. It's a good way to live. If you're not a Christian here this morning, maybe you're exploring issues of faith. And if you are here doing that, that's great to have you. We love having you in church. You know, we exist for all those who don't know about God yet and haven't encountered God. And virtually every service, we have people who are asking those questions of faith, who are asking, what is it? What's the meaning of life? Why am I here? All those questions. And it's great to have you. And you may not, if you're one of those people, you may not believe in God or that he has a plan for your life. But I know as well that you won't simply want to let circumstance control your life. So this has something for you as well. Although I believe that God does have a plan for your life. He does have a purpose for your life. And you're here precisely because that's part of God's plan and purpose for your life. If you're a Christian, you have every reason to be strong and courageous. You've got a God who loves you, a God who has a plan and a purpose for your life, a God who's got a future and a destiny for each and every one of you. God, I want you to live decisive. Be strong and courageous. So three ways to help you live decisive. I want to get practical. Three ways to help you live decisive. This okay? Awesome. First way is this: live by your convictions. Live by your convictions. Have any of you heard of the great theologian Katy Perry? The great theologian Katy Perry, she sings. She's, if you don't know who she is, she's not a theologian. She's a pop star, an American, a very popular one. And she sings this in one of her songs. She says, "I stood for nothing, so I fell for everything. I stood for nothing, so I fell for everything." Someone who has no conviction, or someone may have conviction, but they don't live by it, will just get pulled this way and that way, up and down, left and right. They'll be on a roller coaster of life all the time. There'll be ups and downs here and there. They'll just be whatever the loudest voice is, whoever the person is they've just hung out with, whatever. And hey, as Christians, we can do this. Whatever podcast we've just listened to, whatever thing it is that we've just heard, whatever the latest craze is, we get pulled this way and that way if you don't have convictions and live by them. You know, and what happens is that we end up stuck in a cycle if we don't have convictions. We end up in the same place, frustrated and annoyed, feeling insignificant, lacking purpose and lacking drive, and ultimately find it difficult to get up in the morning if we lack purpose and lack decisiveness. But those who live by conviction will be the opposite. They'll know why they're here. They'll know what they're about. You've met people like that. You just know they've got purpose and on their life. You know that what their decisions that they make, they know they're going in a certain direction. That their life will be full of plans and purpose as well. They'll be thinking about the future. I'm going here. This is what I believe God's calling me to. This is where I'm going. They'll be aiming for a goal. They'll have a hill, the next hill that they're going to take. That's how I'm going to get there. That's where I'm going. That's what I want to do with my life. That's where they'll be going. And they'll find living decisive relatively easy because they know what they're meant to do. Because they have convictions, they'll know what they're meant to do. I just want to read some verses to you from 2 Timothy. It's a book that was written by a guy called Paul to a kind of a spiritual son in the faith called Timothy. And Paul writes this. He said, "And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted him until that day." I say this was written by a guy called Paul. He was a Christian leader and a preacher, and he had convictions and he lived by them. His purpose in life was to tell people the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. That's why we're here as a church. We exist for the same thing today. But he was suffering for it. He says, "That's why I'm suffering as I am." He was persecuted. He lived in Roman times when Christianity wasn't popular or accepted. In fact, people got thrown in prison and beaten and killed for it, and he was suffering for it. But he said, "I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced." He was convinced He had conviction. He lived by conviction. Even though he had been in prison, he knew God had his back. Even though he was in a tricky situation, he still had purpose. He still had conviction. And he was to carry on telling people about Jesus. Do you have convictions? I'm asking you the question, do you have convictions? And if you do have convictions about your life, are you living by them? Are you actually living by your convictions? Are you living by what you really believe? Are you living by your convictions? That's probably not a 10-second thought process that you can answer right now. It's probably maybe you need to think about it some and go home and this afternoon. Maybe you need to ask some people to say, hey, what do you think my convictions are? What are my convictions? You need to maybe go through a journey on that. But that's such a valuable exercise to do. Go home. Do you have convictions? And if you do, are you living by them? But one of the things that attracted me to my wife, Chrissy, was how she lived by conviction. She's sat here on the front row. She's the most beautiful woman in the world. She's amazing and kind, and I love her so much. She's incredible. And one of my friends here, Rob, is like doing a sick sign. And so one of the things that attracted me to Chrissy was that she lived by a conviction. Now, if you ask her about a story, I don't have time to tell it now, but Jesus changed her life. She had eating disorder and depression, and life was rubbish. At times she'd wanted and considered and almost did take her life. And she encountered Jesus. She had purpose and hope. Her sin and guilt was washed away. She loved food again. Baked bean pizza was her favorite food. And she just, life had been transformed. So her conviction was Jesus can change people's lives. Jesus can change people's lives. And he can and he does, because he changed my wife's life. And she was convicted and convinced and had these convictions that Jesus, and through the local church, because that's where we tell people about Jesus, it was just the most important thing. And that attracted me to her, and it drew me to her. And she was determined that anybody she met would know her story and would have that same opportunity that she has to encounter Jesus and see the life transformed and turned around. And that was one of the things that attracted me to her. And she lived and she still lives by those convictions. You know, people of conviction draw other people to themselves. If you want to be a leader, you want to be an influencer, even just if you're a mum in your family or a dad in your family, maybe you don't have huge dreams of building a business or, you know, being a captain of a sports team or whatever it may be. If you want to draw people around you together, live by conviction, live by conviction, live by purpose and conviction. So that's the first way to live more decisive. Live by your convictions. This making sense? Come on. Number two, second way, trust in God's promises. Trust in God. Can I hear an amen if you're a Christian? Amen. Trust in God's promises. In the Bible, there's over 3,500 promises. One commentator says that we can live by. That's, if I make that right, it's about 10 every day that we can build our lives upon. 10 promises every day that God gives us that we can build our lives upon. That's incredible. If you're not a Christian and you're thinking, hey, maybe this doesn't apply to me yet, hopefully it will do soon. But it will help you think through what it means to be a Christian. So don't switch off right now. Keep on listening and leaning in here. God's promises. And you know, we all make decisions on promises. Most of the time, we don't call them promises. And we have inner promises. So before Dad had bought that beautiful Vauxhall Cavalier when I was younger, we had terrible old bangers as cars. And used to get ferried around in them, which I'm very grateful for. But occasionally they would break down or bits would fall off them. There was rust on them, all these sorts of things. And as a kid, I made an inner promise that I wouldn't buy old bangers. I wouldn't buy old cars. So when I go now looking for a car, I have bought a new one once, but I never usually buy a new one. I usually buy a secondhand one, but I want a good one. I want a decent car just because of that. And I made an inner promise to myself. And most of us have inner promises of all sorts of different ways and different shapes and forms, whether it's to do with relationships or whether it's the type of car you buy or whatever it may be. And there's all sorts of things. Some people make very controlling inner promises. Maybe you've made an inner promise that you won't let yourself get hurt again. Maybe you've been hurt once or twice or so many times. You know, no one's going to hurt me ever again. That's an inner promise that is controlling your life and they can be very powerful. And we need to be very careful with inner promises that we make because they're very powerful. We make promises work-wise. You know, when we sign a contract, if you work or you ever have worked, you know, we sign a contract, that's making a promise. You're saying, I promise to turn up at work at 9 o'clock. I'll do those duties. I'll do this thing. And your employer promises to pay you for those hours and give you so much holiday and so on and so forth. And that's a promise that we make. And these promises help us to live decisive. You can understand that promises do help us to live decisive. You know, if we know that we need to be at work at 9 o'clock, we'll get up at 7:30, we'll have breakfast, we'll get ready and we'll go to work. You know, we can live decisive because we've made a promise about getting up to work, we'll get up and go. But God's promises are on a whole different level. They're a whole different level. God Almighty, creator and sustainer of the universe, who knows everything, is all-knowing, all-powerful, and who always keeps his promises. He is described as even being faithful when people are faithless. When people reject him, he's still faithful to the promises that he's made into people's lives. That's the whole different level of the promises that we have in our own lives, in our lives. And we can build our lives upon them. We can build our lives upon God's promises. This is one of my favorites, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. It's just one of my favorite promises. And this one alone can alter your life completely and totally. And all of God's promises are like that, actually. If you trust in them completely and build your life upon them, your life will look very different than it does right now. Even if you've been a Christian for decades, you start building your life upon God's promises. Put more of them into your life. Something great will happen. There's more for you to come. There's more yet. And this one is my favorite, as I've said, and it'll help you live more decisive. You know, if you trust God, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. So if you don't just go to yourself, but think, God, actually, I trust in you first here. And he will help you to walk into your future. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. He will help you make good decisions. He will help you walk into the future. And if it's not the right one, he will direct your path in a different way. He's got your back. It's a promise of God. Promise of God. So God's promises. You've put God's promises in your life, it will help you live decisive. As a little aside here, I want to give you a tool to help you live more decisive. It's a little matrix. It's called just three simple questions that you can ask. Now, when you ask these questions, please don't throw your brain away because this isn't the answer to every single question, making every single decision, but it's just a helpful way of thinking about it. So the first question that you should ask is to help you make the decision, is it illegal? If it's illegal, don't do it. Bad consequences to it. Simple question, but lots of people don't ask that question and stuff happens to them. It happens all the time and people often don't realize it as well. So ask that question, is it illegal? Second one, is it moral? Let your Bible be your guide. When you're asking questions, making decisions, think, actually, what does the Bible say? Let the morals be your guide in here. God's promises are especially useful in that. If you're not a Christian, you're off the hook with the Bible. You can follow whatever moral code you want to because you're not a Christian. But I encourage you, there's lots of great morals in here. So why don't you adopt that and look through that because there's some great stuff in there. And the third question is it wise? It surprises me how many people don't ask the question, is this a wise decision? Is this a wise decision I'm making right now? So many people don't. They just make a decision and they haven't even thought about it. Is it wise? Have you asked for advice of good people? Have you rolled the tape forwards in your mind thinking, if I make this decision, what will happen next week or next month or 5 years down the line? Is it wise? So three simple questions. Is it illegal? Is it moral? Is it wise? If you ask those three questions, that will revolutionize your decision making. But that's a little tool to help you. But trusting God's promises, that's the second way to live decisive. Are you ready for the third? Yeah. Are you ready? Third one, see potential in the future. See potential in the future. There are two ways of looking at the future. You can see potential or you can see problems. See potential and see problems. I don't think there is a middle ground in this. You either see potential or you see problems. If you see problems, you'll be indecisive. You'll be like, oh gosh, look at all that. This is terrible. Everything's going wrong. Just look at the future. It's all going to go bad. The currency's dropping. The stock market's going badly. Brexit's happening. All sorts of stuff is going on. Life is terrible. Look at around the society around us and so on. And all of a sudden, you're indecisive. You're like, what do I do? How do I get through this? How do I navigate this? But someone who sees the potential, they'll live decisive. Like, the future's great. I see opportunity there. Something good's going to happen here. I've got all these great relationships. Going to live through life with those things. I'm planted in a fantastic church. God's got something special for me in the future. And all of a sudden, you're excited about the future. And actually, I'm going to step forwards into what God has got for me. You either see problems or you see potential. You live indecisive or you live decisive. If any of you have traveled in Africa much, You'll have seen signs for Bata shoes. It's B-A-T-A, Bata shoes. They're all over the place, these shoe shops, Bata shoes. And even in remote parts of Africa, places you wouldn't really expect to see shops or wouldn't expect to see a chain of shops. But I ask this question, why is this shoe company so popular? At the end of the 1800s, when Africa was beginning to open up as a market, towards the end of the Victorian era, and Africa was, roads were being built, railways and so on, travel in Africa, and the Western companies like, hey, there's potential markets here, maybe we can go and sell stuff there. And so the shoe industry was no different. They sent shoe salesmen to Africa. All of the companies, especially there was a lot from here in the UK and especially based in London, and they sent salesmen there. And when they got to Africa and when they started exploring, going to different places, they realized that all the Africans at that time, they didn't wear shoes. None of them wore shoes at all. They just didn't wear shoes. So all of the shoe salesmen went home. It's like, there's no market here. No one wears shoes. How are we going to sell shoes to people who don't wear shoes? This is crazy. And they all went home, apart from one. One salesman, the Bata salesman, and he was out in Africa. He got there, looked around, and he was like, no one wears shoes. Everybody needs shoes. This is a huge market. So what he did, he telegraphed headquarters back in London, said, no one wears shoes here. There's huge potential. It's a massive market. Send me all the shoes you can. And they did. And they sent him all the shoes you can, and the rest is history. And they became the monopoly shoe seller, manufacturer in the whole of Africa. And they still are huge today. Obviously not as big as they used to be, but they're huge. Do you see problems or do you see potential? Most people see problems, but there's always potential. There's always potential in whatever situation it is, whatever you're facing right now. Problems lead to indecision. Potential leads you to living decisive. Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorite verses. If you've been in church any time, you'll have heard this before. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God sees great potential in your life. God sees great potential in your life. Every single one of you got potential. And God isn't just saying this, young people have got potential. Skilled people have got potential. People with degrees have got potential. He says, everybody's got potential. Doesn't matter whether you're young or old. Doesn't matter whether you're well-educated or not. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter if you come from a good family or a broken home. God sees potential in you. He sees amazing potential in each and every one of you. Let's see potential and not problems. Let's live decisive. Let's get the worship team up. We're just coming to a close. So that's three ways to live decisive. Live by your convictions, trust in God's promises, and see potential in the future. Three simple ways. Put those in your life, you'll live decisive. It will change your life. Just passionately believe that. It's all from the Word of God. God doesn't want to hold us back. He's got a great plan for our future, and he wants us to walk into that. God doesn't want us to live indecisive. That will hold us back. Pulled this way and that way. Controlled by circumstance. He wants us to live decisive. Confidently walking into the future. Knowing that God has a plan and a purpose. Knowing that God's got our back covered. Knowing that we can step forwards into what we have. Knowing that God is with us in those moments. What I didn't do is, when I was reading the Joshua verses, I didn't kind of finish the story for you. So I want to hop to Joshua chapter 23. Again, if you've got your Bibles, turn to this because it's just so powerful. So God speaks into Joshua's life and says, be strong and courageous. You're going to conquer all these nations. You're going to drive out these terrible people. You're going to lead this Israelite nation until you're going to provide this land and this home for them. And you're going to do all these things. And Joshua chapter 23 is a kind of conclusion of the story. Joshua is at the end of his life. And I want to read some of these verses to you so you can see what happens when someone lives a life following God, living decisive, living by their convictions, trusting in God's promises, and following him with everything they've got. So Joshua chapter 23, it said, after a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then a very old man, he was in his, well, I'm not sure exactly, I think he was in his 120s, 130s, something like that. He was a very old man by this point. He summoned all Israel. He realized he was dying. That he summoned their elders, their leaders, their judges, and their officials, and said to them, I am very old. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. God fights for you. He's fighting for you now. Whatever you face, whatever challenge, whatever's going on in your life, God is fighting for you. He is with you. He's fighting for you. Verse 6, even now, I love this. Joshua says, be very strong. He's still saying, live decisive. He's got it. He knows it. God told him. Now he's telling the people, live decisive. He says, be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the left or the right. He's saying, follow the Bible. That's what he was saying to them. And then verse 9, it says, the Lord has driven out before you the great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. No one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. One of you routs 1,000. Who wants those odds? 1 to 1,000. I want them on my side. 1 to 1,000. That's the God that we serve. 1 to 1,000. You can have that on your side. 1 to 1,000. He's on your side. Verse 14. Joshua realizes the end. He says, now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Not one has failed. Not even one has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. That's what happens when you live a life that's decisive. When you live a life following God, giving everything you have to him. Live decisive. Live decisive. Do you want to conquer over some nations? We don't do that these days. We don't tend to conquer nations. But is there stuff in your life that needs conquering? God is with you. He will fight for you. 1 to 1,000 odds are on your side. One will rout 1,000. That's the God who is with you. Overcoming great odds, we can do this. And that's the kind of life available to those who follow God and live decisive. It's available to each and every one of us. You don't have to be special. There isn't anything. It's available to you.